Welcome back to the JX. I'm Mike Green. It's not unusual for the Federal Bureau of Land Management to run into opposition when it proposes selling trees to be cut down and hauled away. So no one is surprised to see complaints about the Last Chance Forest Management Project, planned for BLM land north of Grants Pass in Jackson, Josephine, and Douglas counties. Environmental groups have concerns, of course. We heard from them in a recent interview last week, and today we're hearing from the timber industry. Two guests join us from the American Forest Resource Council, Federal Timber Director Andy Geisler, and Western Oregon Field Coordinator Corey Bingaman. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Good morning. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Well, the BLM extended a deadline for public comment on the Last Chance project to August 29th. We invite our audience to join this conversation by email at jx@jeffnet.org. So, Andy, let's start with you. Can you tell us more about your role at the American Forest Resource Council?
Sure, yeah. So AFRC, we're a timber products trade association, and we're made up. Our membership is primarily wood products manufacturing companies that rely to some degree on BLM timber supply. So most of our members manage sawmills that make dimensional lumber, peeler mills that peel veneer for plywood, or facilities that make different kinds of engineered wood products. And one thing all of our members have in common, because many of them don't own their own forest land, they rely on BLM timber supply to keep those facilities operating. And that supply is often a bit fickle and uncertain, particularly, you know, since the BLM published its current management plan, which put about 80% of the BLM forest land base into reserves where timber production is prohibited. So we're left with 20% where timber production is permitted. And we have an interest in seeing that 20% is managed for sustained yield timber production. And the Last Chance project contains much of that 20%, which is referred to as the harvest land base. So my role with our association is to track the status of these projects and work with the BLM to make sure their timber sales are operable and that the supply is reliable and can work for our membership.
Okay. Corey, tell us more about your role.
Sure, yeah. So I'm the Western Oregon Field Coordinator with AFRC, and my role really is just to be the boots on the ground forester, you know, looking at these projects in person and sort of reviewing them and submitting comments where needed during the planning process. And so, you know, Andy oversees the entire federal program, and I'm a part of that. I'm much more involved personally with the plans and seeing them on the ground.
So which one of you can tell me more about the Last Chance logging sale? What is it?
Sure, I could fill in for that. So the Last Chance project is, the purpose for the project is to, one, conduct silvicultural treatments to produce timber. Like Andy mentioned, some of this, a good portion of this project is in harvest land base. And so the BLM sees a need to manage to attain timber in some of these areas. But then a good component of the Last Chance project is really fuels reduction. To prepare the stand so it's more resilient to fire. And a lot of that work is going to be performed in what's called LSR, or late sterile reserves, areas where the BLM is their aim is to manage four old and mature trees. And so a lot of the treatments in Last Chance are really designed to either protect the big trees that are that exist on the landscape, or to implement vegetation treatments that help promote that sort of that late sterile, that old growth forest type. And so they're going into some areas that, you know, they're old plantations. They don't really have the old growth characteristics that they're looking for. And so the BLM's aim in those areas is to reduce spacing in such a way that the remaining trees on the landscape can grow bigger, taller, and be more resilient to fire. So Last Chance is really two-pronged. There is a timber component, but then there's also a sort of a restoration fire resiliency component, as well as a old growth, increasing old growth availability up there.
So it sounds like that's an environmental perspective. Andy, you talked about the economic perspective. There's 80% protection by BLM lands, and then there's 20% that's available as a supplier for your organization. What do you want the public to know about this particular sale?
Yeah, well, it's, this particular sale is one component towards the Bureau of Land Management achieving their sustained yield timber program. There's other projects occurring in the district that all put together create a program out of the Medford District that meets their timber requirements. And what that is referred to in their plan is called the allowable sale quantity, ASQ. And the BLM calculated that. It's not a random number. They calculated that allowable sale quantity in terms of board feet based on sustained yield timber management principles couched in this notion of ecological forestry, right? So the Bureau of Land Management, they're not managing the same as private land. When they go in and harvest, they leave considerable amounts of retention trees in their regeneration harvests. This is all based on, these ecological principles where rather than just clear cut, they try to mimic what would occur on the landscape naturally. Now, it's not perfectly naturally, but they're trying to mimic it. So they do a lighter touch management up there where they harvest to attain that ASQ. And that's, much of what the Last Chance project is. They also manage a large portion in what's called uneven aged systems, right? So even aged is where you regenerate, cut most of the trees down, grow a new stand to be harvested and managed later. Uneven age is where on any given acre, you're managing some younger forests and then you're managing some older forests. So they put in what are called group selections and try to have multiple ages growing on any given acre. And that's most of what Last Chance is designed for. It's these types of treatments to attain that sustained yield allowable sale quantity.
So this is responsible sales.
I'd like to think so.
Well, you said the BLM is your primary supplier for your members, right?
It's a supplier. Our membership, since public land management has changed over the years. And so the wood product demand is still out there. And, since Forest Service and Bureau of Land Management, timber supply was reduced back in the 1990s, a lot of the stress was put on private land to supply that material for wood products. Our membership, they source material from multiple sources, from private land and from federal land. But, currently, even for those members where the BLM supply is a small component of their raw material, it's still an important component. But it's sourced from multiple areas. And yes, private land has been stressed more in recent years since public supply has been reduced.
I'm talking with Andy Geisler and Corey Bingaman of the American Forest Resource Council about the BLM's Last Chance project. You can join the conversation by email at jx@jeffnet.org. So here's a question for you, Andy. Why do you think environmental organizations are concerned about the Last Chance logging sale?
Well, there's different perspectives. They have different perspectives than we do in terms of the land base. Obviously there's concerns among them about how private land is managed. And I think I heard on the show last week that was highlighted by your guests. The private land management is more intensive, and they see a need to balance that by lighter touch on public lands, which is fair. Like I said a minute ago, the reason for that private land management is partly because supply has been reduced on public lands. There's kind of a spectrum here that's gotten pulled far apart over the past decades. And so I think their concern has a lot to do with how private land is managed. Since it's so intensive, There's a need for lighter touch management on BLM lands. But as I said, increasing supply on public lands could reduce the stress potentially on private lands. But I believe that's their perspective and why they're looking at last chance through a different lens than we are.
Gotcha. So, Corey, you mentioned Harvest Land Base and LSR. Can you talk more about that?
Sure. Yeah, like Andy mentioned at the top, so when the BLM underwent their resource management plan revision, it basically set aside 80% of the land base for these LSRs, late soil retention or late soil reserves, where basically the objective is to accelerate or improve the development of northern spotted owl habitat, and they do so by basically trying to design treatments in LSR to promote old growth type characteristics, characteristics in forests that we know that spotted owls nest and roost in. So that was 80% of the land base in across the entire BLM ownership in Western Oregon. The 20% they set aside for harvest land base, that's where the BLM is allowed to practice something more like a sustained yield type of silviculture, where timber is a component, is expected to be a component of that land base. And so harvest land base has different rules under which under which they're managed by, but it's all under this resource management plan, which is, as Andy mentioned, is an ecological forestry type of scheme, where even in these areas that are supposed to be timber producing, these HLB lands, it's a much more of a lighter touch forestry. It's more thinning, variable retention harvest, which it's a little bit of a heavier cut, but it's really where clear cuts are not allowed to take place really on BLM in BLM lands in Western Oregon. So it's practicing the rules of sustained yield forestry, but certainly with a much lighter touch, with a lot less of the impact that, as Andy mentioned, that we see from private forests.
Well, it sounds like there's a challenge to get that equilibrium between economic and environmental concerns. So how often does your organization engage in discussions with the BLM and environmental organizations collectively to strike that equilibrium?
Well, we, much of our staff participate in what's known as collaborative groups. These are groups that are specifically designed to bring in stakeholders with different viewpoints and discuss public land management. Sometimes it's Forest Service, sometimes it's Bureau of Land Management. And those occur across the region. Corey's part of some of those. I'm part of some of those. The rest of our staff in other states participate. And we get together in those groups and try to come to some sort of consensus as to how we can strike that balance. And it doesn't always happen. On Bureau of Land Management land, it's often very difficult because the Bureau of Land Management has very clear directives to manage for sustained yield timber production, where on U.S. Forest Service land, those objectives aren't quite as explicit. But we try to engage in those groups where we can and work together to find common ground, but it's a challenge.
Well, I appreciate you both joining the show. We've run out of time, so I want to thank you both, Andy Geisler and Corey Bingaman of the American Forest Resource Council. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining the exchange.
Thanks for having us, Mike.
Well, that's it for today's JX segments. JeffExchange.org is our website where you can find these conversations and more. Or you can subscribe to our shows wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mike Green. Angela Decker is our senior producer, and Zach Beagle is engineering our show today. Our theme music is composed by Maxwell and Terry Longshore. Thanks for joining us, and have a nice day.